It is good to be with you this morning, whether you're here in the room or worshiping at home. Another welcome. Sundays are just good, right? To be able to be in space with other people to encourage our faith. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today as we conclude our sermon series that we have been going through on the theme of influence. We've looked at this the last 2 weeks, and our first week, we started with three questions. We asked, who is the most influential person in your life? That was question one. And then we asked, what are the things that are influencing you? Question two. And the third question, who are you influencing? And we suggested that week that we will live better lives and that our faith will develop more deeply and that the world will be changed for God's kingdom more fully if we're being purposeful. If we're being purposeful both about what and who we are letting influence us, and also if we are being purposeful about how we are using our influence with others. And when we started this series that first week, we showed a video, and it was a bunch of different people that were on a street being interviewed and being asked those three questions. And that first one, who is the most influential person in your life? We heard over and over again, overwhelmingly, it was parents. And statistically, this holds up. Studies show year after year that parents are the most influential people in our lives in good and bad ways, right? It's parents that keep therapists in business. And when we think about spiritual influence, it's the same. Parents have the most influence on our faith. And it makes sense because parents are those people we probably spend the most time with growing up when we're putting together our ideas about life and about God. And after that first week, the first service, I went out into the courtyard and I was talking with one of our members, our longtime members, Ann Kenyon. And she was reflecting on those questions and said, you know, my mama is the one that influenced my faith the most. She said her mom would get her sisters together after they would have a meal and they would stand in the kitchen singing hymns together as they did the dishes. And she said her daddy and the boyfriends would be in the other room and they would listen, so they must have been good. And they'd sing these songs and her mom would talk about God and about their lives and how the two fit together and bringing God into their home in a way that shaped and influenced her in significant ways. And in my own life, I think of my parents who made attending church every week a priority. And we prayed at home together, and they lived lives that reflected their commitment to God. They would do things like drive me to youth activities at our church. And in their teacher salary budget, they found a way to prioritize my sister and I going to church camp every summer. And I learned stories of the Bible. And then there came a time that I had to make a decision. Is this their faith or is it my faith? And when I decided to follow Jesus because I believed it was true, I had this foundation of faith that was already there that I could continue to build on. In the first week of the series, we talked about what influences us and being purposeful about that. And then last week, we shifted our focus from what influences us to how we are influencers in the world, because all of us, whether we're being purposeful or not, are influencers. We had guests with us last week. They were missionaries from Liberia, and it's pretty clear in a missionary story to see how they are living out their call to influence. They are in a country where they are trying to influence to make change to people that are living in an impoverished nation. Jeff, in his sermon, had a flashlight, and he talked about being light in darkness and letting our faith be seen by others, integrating what we believe with how we live. And so today we're going to think about being influencers, but narrow the focus a bit from our influence out in the world to how we can be purposeful in our influence at home. And we're going to get really practical today. In Matthew 22, Jesus is asked a question by the Pharisees, and he is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And this is Jesus' response. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Every time I read these verses, they're some of my favorite, every time I read them, I just have this clear picture of the directions of the cross. that you have this vertical focus where we have one God and we are putting our one lives in front of our one God, aligning it, seeking to be with God so that his influence can come into all areas of our lives. And then we have this horizontal directions, these two arms that go out wide, loving our neighbor in the world. And when you think about reaching those arms out, when you start to reach, the first people you're going to butt up against, bump into, are the people closest to you, the people you share space with, the people that are in your homes. And so when we think about influence at home and who we share life with, we're going to start talking about the influence of parents. And when I say parents, I really expand that to mean anyone who is parenting, anyone who has kids in their lives that they can influence. So this is moms and dads and stepmoms and stepdads and grandparents and foster parents and extended family, people who have a place to influence kids. In Scripture, passing on faith from one generation to the next is a job that is given to families from the very beginning. And so we're going to read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we find Moses addressing the Israelites before they go into the promised land. And so he's addressing them, talking about their future, talking about where they are going. And this is what he says in verses 6 to 9. These are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So you can see that this passage in Deuteronomy is the one that Jesus is referencing, the one he is quoting when he answers that question from the Pharisees, what is the greatest commandment? And Deuteronomy says to love God, to be influenced by God in all of your life, but then to turn and to impress that, to give that love, God's word, to your children from one generation, passing it along to the next. And it gives practical instructions for how to live this out, to talk to them about it, to talk to them about it when you're home, when you're walking, so we can think when we're driving to school, when we're driving to the store, when we're driving to activities, talk about it when you go to sleep, talk about it when you wake up. Put God's commands on your door frames. It just gives us this picture of making God's word visible, making your home a place where others can see what it is that you believe. There are 52 weeks in a year, which means that if you bring kids to church every single week without missing one, that is 52 weeks, 52 hours. That's significant. But in comparison, it's estimated that parents have 3,000 hours a year with their children. How parents see and live out their faith has the greatest influence on kids. So as a church, it's very important for us, whether or not we have kids at home at this moment, to support parents. Because every one of us makes promises to do that at every baptism. It's important for us to encourage parents in all of the challenges that they face and encounter, but also to encourage our parents to be purposeful about ways they can pass on faith to the next generation, because it matters to God and should matter to all of us. When you have babies, parents can pray out loud over them at night. Something Jeff and I learned when our kids were younger was to give a blessing. We would pray with them, and then we would take our fingers and we'd draw a cross on their forehead, and we would say words, "You are precious to God and you are precious to me." When you do that, this is passing on faith. And you can do that, you can start it with kids at any age, but when you start when they're babies, even before they can respond and understand, you are helping to train yourself. If you are uncomfortable praying out loud, they're not gonna say anything. They're not gonna judge you. So you can get more and more comfortable with those words before they are old enough to understand. When you have preschoolers, pray with them at night. Let them hear the words of faith and encourage them to begin to use and practice them. A couple of weeks ago, I was texted a video of a three-year-old from our church that was praying his bedtime prayer, and his parents gave me permission to show you this. And so we're going to watch this video. This is Hudson Pound.
God, thank you for all the animals. You make them grow up. You made them stronger and stronger. God, thank you for me and Daddy and Mommy and Brayden and Ellie and all my friends and Pappy and Mimi and Nana and Pop Pop. I love you, God. Amen.
That's it. His dad told me that every night he will go and he will pray first so that Hudson can learn those words, learn the many different things that we can pray about, and then Hudson will take his turn to pray. That's what spiritual influence looks like. That is how faith is passed along. When your kids get a little bit older and you start to read with them, have an age-appropriate kids Bible. One of my favorites that I still love is the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I have some extra copies in my office I actually brought this morning. So if you have a preschool age kid or a younger elementary student, I have a Bible I will give you for free if you want to take it home and start to read this with your child. As Christians, we have different storybooks that authors have written. You can include those into the stack of books that is in your living room, your bedtime reading. You can add music, worship music, to your playlist in the car. Think about how God can be included in what they are consuming. When kids are able to read themselves, find a Bible that they can read and help them do that out loud. Talk and wonder with them about the stories that they're hearing and let them ask their questions. Kids are absorbing everything, so spend time with them and love them. And remember to ask for forgiveness when you mess up. Teaching kids to say sorry, to ask for forgiveness, is a faith practice, and it's one that's hard for adults to do. When we think of holidays, we can create traditions that help to bring God into focus. We can make church a priority and talk to our kids about why. As they get older and lives begin to get crowded with sports and activities, we can remember that all these are things you can do wherever you are to bless and to pray and to make faith to life connections about what they're experiencing. In teen years, be the transportation that they need to participate in youth activities and camps. Ask them, what are you learning? Ask good questions and listen to their answers. Take current issues and talk about them in relation to faith. Find a Bible study that you can do together. The first week of the series, I told you that I was about to read a memoir on the life of Eugene Peterson, who is a pastor and a theologian. And this is about his life, and this week I actually finished it. And there's this beautiful image in the book about his son Eric as a child going up to his dad's study to tell him it was time for dinner, and the door was cracked. And he peeked through that crack in the door and saw his father kneeling with his prayer shawl wrapped around his shoulders. And this image of his dad praying quietly is one that he carried through his life and that shaped him significantly. So set the example. If you want faith to be a priority for your kids, they need to see that it's a priority for you. If you are a grandparent, you can do all of these things. You have incredible influence. We have grandparents in our church that drive their grandchildren here, that do kids ministry activities with them at home, that pray over their lives with and for them. And you can let your grandkids see your faith in Zoom and Facebook conversations. This October, there is a conference here in Jacksonville called the Legacy Grandparenting Summit. I mean, you all are invited to a summit. It sounds very important. The Legacy Grandparenting Summit, and it actually is a conference that's being live streamed across the country, but they are filming it here in Jacksonville. So you can get tickets, you can go in person, hear the speakers live. And this is from their website. Andrew said that they had done this in their church at Houston and people loved attending. But their website says, this conference is for you if you want to see your grandchildren follow Christ. If you desire to leave a lasting legacy of love, if you want to influence generations of your family for Christ, it's about intentionally using your influence at home in your family. And your influence doesn't stop just when your child graduates from high school. This week I received an email from an organization, and all they do is try to get parents to encourage them to pass on faith to their kids. And the person that was writing said they had just gotten back from a conference, and at the conference they were approached by a parent who said, you know, my child is a senior in high school, they're about to leave. I feel like my window of influence is getting narrow very fast. And they responded, no, you have 60 years of influence. That window is still there because you never stop being a parent. If you continue to be part of your child's life, you have influence. So when we talk about influence at home and we look at those words of Deuteronomy, it's important as a whole church to talk about parenting and kids. But as you stretch out your arms, these two directions of the cross, you bump into more people in your home than just kids. And if you look at these words of Deuteronomy, if you're living those out, if you do those things, they're going to intentionally spill over. Others are going to see and feel them. So if you are praying, and if you're inviting God into your day, if you are making your home a place where faith can be seen, that will influence others. A number of years ago, I was talking to an adult whose spouse wasn't interested in faith or the church, and they described themselves as single in faith. And there's a loneliness that comes with coming to church by yourself when you have a spouse that stays home. But living out faith at home, it's hard, but you can do that. John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. And the next sentence that follows does not say, stand on a street corner with a megaphone. It says, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Pushing faith on an unbelieving adult isn't usually very well received. But influence doesn't have to involve words. This week, our middle school director, Micah, gave us in a staff meeting a public service announcement. So this is free for you this morning. He used to work at a drive-through window. He was the drive-through guy. And he said, you need to know that in every drive-through, there is a sensor. And once your car gets to that sensor, they can hear everything that is happening inside of your car. So if you are yelling at your kids, if you are on a private phone call, they hear it all. As we think about who has a front row seat to our private lives, it's the people at home, the people we share life with most closely. And so having integrity and loving and forgiving, our words and actions at home will be noticed, and our influence will be greater if what we say we believe is how we live. I have watched kids influence the faith of their parents and siblings who see their growing faith and want more of that for themselves. So this can be done by anyone at any age. When we think about influence at home, this naturally integrates with hospitality. We did a series on hospitality earlier in the summer. I would encourage you to go listen to that if you missed it. But as we think about it, all of us, whether we're married or single, whether we're 20 or 40 or 80, all of us can invite other people into our homes. And we can create space and conversation that will encourage and influence faith. Small groups are the best example I can think of to model this out, people that are doing life together. And spiritual growth happens when we have a safe place where we can ask questions and express doubts and share struggles without fear of judgment. When we have people who are following Jesus walking with us, it will help us to seek and follow Jesus. There's a quote that I love that I read this week on the Bible app, and it says, "Influential people get involved in other people's lives. They connect with others. The more people know you for who you really are, and the more you get to know others in your life and deeply care about them, the stronger your influence and the more influence that you will have in their lives." So basically it's saying live out that verse in John, "They will know you are my disciples by the way that you love one another." Be involved in people's lives. When we listen, when we care about what's happening in people's lives, we're demonstrating to them the value that they have as people who are image bearers of God. So it happens in small groups, it happens in coffee conversations, it happens when we have dinner guests over, and when we get to know our literal neighbors, the people that are right next to us living on either side. Loving people to love Jesus Christ includes loving people at home. And the stronger our relationships are, the more influence that we can have. So influence at home is something that we are all invited to be more intentional about. So here are those questions one more time. And this time, we're going to frame them in a spiritual context. Who are the most influential people in your faith? And how are you being purposeful about having people and voices in your life who are influencing you towards God? And the second question, what influences your faith? What are the spiritual practices or the authors or the places you go that influence you towards God? And then finally, whose faith are you influencing? How are you being purposeful about being a light in our world and in your home? So as we conclude this series, as we step into a new season next week as a church, my prayer is that we can be a church, that we can be a people together that are following Jesus in deep ways, and that we are loving others well, and that we are people who are purposefully using our influence for the kingdom of God, both in the world and in our homes. So let's pray and ask God to help us do this before communion. Oh God, you see us and you know us. And we place our lives before you and we ask you to come and have full influence in all the areas of our lives. You see who is in our home. You see who our neighbors are. You see our friends and family. And we pray that you would help us to be people who influence others, influence them towards God. God, let us be a church that sees kids and families and parents and understands that we together have a call to love kids, to grow them in faith, to be here for parents as they're doing that work. And God, help us be a church that sees grandparents and encourages grandparents to take that role in sharing faith as well. God, help us to be a church that looks and sees ourselves wherever we are, kids or not, and sees that we too, in our baptismal promises, are called to influence others, to raise kids in faith and be a part of that in the church. So help us to do that and to do that well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.